Welcome. Good morning. Anna, I don't know what that means, but I do know who Spider-Man is. I just can't name the different ones. They're all handsome, though, right? Got that going for us. Okay. All right. Welcome to New Life Church. Just putting my standard bag of stuff down on the ground like I always do. Good to see you guys. Got a question for you to start off the day. You ready for this? You ever made anything? Raise your hand if you made something. And you actually can think of something you actually even like that you made. Yeah. Somebody want to shout it out? Something? Legos? What was it?
Hammock stand.
Hammock stand. Oh, so nice. Anything else out there? Harry Potter Legos? Wand. Oh, yeah, a wand. Adirondack chair. This is good. I know. I'm not going there, kids. Not going there. Because, yes, someone's holding up a baby in the back. Yes. Because you know what it takes to make something most of the time? Tools. Most of the time. Not everything, but most things. You need tools. You need to envision what you want to make, and you need some sort of tools to make it, right? So, like, if it's a nice recipe, you maybe need a pot or a pan or a knife or a cutting board. If it's, like, you're remodeling your bathroom, right, you need that. The drill, the staples, and the drywall mudding tool, right? Lego, I don't know how you make a wand, but I imagine, like, you can't just do it with your bare hands, maybe, unless there's a spell for it, I guess. I'm not doing spells either, so... You know what this gives me the perfect opportunity to talk about, though? The hottest hobby that virtually nobody is practicing. Blacksmithing. I brought some pictures. Okay, so that's my forge, the thing that looks really hot there. I started blacksmithing a couple years ago. Love it. Fantastic. It is so fun. It's so delightful. But when I started making things... It was problematic because I didn't actually have any tools to make anything. Like, I just didn't have the stuff. I didn't even have a forge in the beginning. I kind of made my own, and it was rough. You heat things up, and I hit it with some hard object against a brake drum. And anyway, that's how I started. It got better. And every time I made, like, a new tool, it got better. And so I brought some tools along with me today. So some things that I've made, some tongs. Let's see. A sword. I made a sword. Yeah. I made this hammer. This is really helpful. I use that a lot. What else I got in here? Let's see. I have a knife. I have scissors. Oh, scissors. I made scissors. Yep. This is good. I'm running out of space. Made some more tongs. This isn't like all the things I made. I welded this thing onto this thing, and I use it to bend stuff, which is pretty cool. I made this like nice three-hook thing. You probably can't see it, but you want to see it? Look, it's nice. I want it back. Okay. Unless you want to buy it, this is possible. Some more tongs, and let's see. Yep, I got some punches and some hooks. I made some cool hooks. Like hooks. More hooks. A bracelet in here. It's gone. And I just have some metal, which is going to come into play later. Okay, stay. What are the things that I found interesting? And I'm not really a philosopher by trade, but every once in a while, like, I delve into it. As I think about things, I have a little space when I'm forging, because I'm just waiting for something to heat up, right? And then I'm like thinking about what I'm going to do, and also think about stuff. And one of the things that occurred to me is that the things that I am making are both tools and the end product for me. They're like tools and an end product. Like, I made the hammer because I intended to make a hammer, and I can use the hammer to make other things, and I kind of still like the hammer. That, you know, there's a sense of this with, like, a pair of scissors, right? I made the scissors, but the scissors now are a tool to do other things with, right? Even something that's decorative, like that amulet, right? Maybe it's a memory. It holds on to some importance for someone, or even attracts someone to someone else, or starts a conversation, right? There's a purpose to it. And that got me thinking, church, that's us. That's us in God's brilliance. We are simultaneously tools, forgive me for saying it that way, and the end product. God has chosen to build up his church, which is us, through us, his kids, his gifted kids. So here we are in the Gifted Kids series, part 2 of 4, and it's going to be great. And the problem is, 4 weeks is not nearly enough time to cover the beauty and the depth and the riches of all that is about God's gifts to us. But our heart as pastors is that we really want to live out what we see in Scripture. We want our community to live out what we see in Scripture. And so we want New Life to be that community where each of us faithfully pursues God's purposes in God's way, because the character of Christ is our aim. That means that we need to learn to understand how God's gifted us so that we can lovingly apply that to building up the church toward Christ-like maturity. If you remember from last week, what did Kyle have a shout again and again? Let's put the slide up. Christ-likeness and love. Remember shouting that last week if you were here? Yeah? Christ-likeness and love. Why are the spiritual gifts there? Because they help us to build the body of Christ up into Christ-like maturity. And then how are we going to do that? We're going to do it in love. So we're going to use that same foundation today. All right, let's pray. We'll jump in. Heavenly Father, it is a delight to be your kid, to get to learn from you, to experience the beauty of your world. I saw so many hands raised. You've allowed us to be your co-creators and making things and experiencing things and crafting a world, and yet we haven't done it perfectly. And we need your grace. And we need you to draw us in and shape us and form us to become more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. So today and the next 2 Sundays, we're going to lay out what we call our summary understanding of spiritual gifts. Our summary understanding of spiritual gifts. It's not like our list of definitions, because there's some mystery to these things and some subjectivity and interpretation and all those pieces. But it's our summary understanding, our team's best understanding of what we see represented in Scripture. Other brilliant people have applied the same effort to Scripture, and there's different lists out there, and there's some great ones. Our heart isn't to have the best one. It's just to have good common language in our own context where we can help further our own community forward in loving the Lord. Well, through the gifts he's given us. There's 19. We're going to cover the 7 serving gifts today, and then the next 2 weeks we're going to cover the speaking gifts split into 2 groups. We have, by the way, we've printed copies in the back. If you're like looking at the communion table and you go this way, there's copies. And then if you're in the back, there's some in the bright little alcove there where the sun comes in. And you can grab those if you guys want. And if we run out, we'll print more. And I believe we're going to send them out in the bulletin tomorrow. If you don't have the bulletin, you can sign up at the bottom of the webpage. Go to the button and sign up for the bulletin. Got that going for you. What I want you to do as I go through these is to pay attention to each of the gifts. Each gift is a gift from God to all of us as a community. It's like got all of our names on it. But the gifts are given to individuals. They're given to individuals. And the Bible tells us that everyone has placed their faith in Jesus has a gift from the Holy Spirit. So if you're a follower of Jesus, the community that he's placed you in needs that gift. So listen with an ear for how you can personally resonate with any of these descriptions as I go through them. And here we go. Let's do it. First gift. It's the gift of administration. This one's also maybe one of the wordiest ones, so bear with me a second. The gift of administration involves the special ability to manage details of service functions so as to support and free others to prioritize their efforts. It is a divine enablement to understand what makes an organization function, to plan and execute procedures that accomplish the goals of the ministry. There's a lot. But the central thrust is the supportive organizational abilities. What does it look like when we see this gift play out in our community? Well, it looks like chaos transforming into order. Paul wrote to Titus, he said, "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Chaos to order. So when you're surrounded by chaos within an organization, it doesn't feel good, right? Have you had that experience? It seems like either nothing's getting done or everything's getting done, but it's like you're trapped in a bus and the bus is hurtling down the road at high speed, and all these things are happening, but nobody is driving it, right? And you can't get out. Not good. People with administrative gifts, they can see what needs to be done. They can see what needs to change. They can see what needs to improve. They can bring plans together. They can root out problems. They can source them out. And they can have a powerful impact on the community, because our community is made up of a ton of organizations and subgroups. We're just grouped and how all these like organizations, big and small, all over the place. And so people with this gift can bless our whole community everywhere. And they're needed all over the place. Like in a home group space, they can bring structure or planning or goals into play. They can take a goal and a value like life change for the next generation and organize a powerful youth retreat, right? They can look at a room full of people trying to unload a truckload of food and transform it into an efficient, loving enterprise. Gift of administration. Another gift is the gift of helps. The gift of helps is that special ability to willingly meet the needs of others through very practical service. The central thrust is the attitude and ability to aid others in practical ways. Aid others in practical ways. So what does it look like when this gift is in play? I think of Acts. There's a description of a woman named Tabitha, also called Dorcas in Greek, and it says that she's always good in helping the poor. I don't know if she had the spiritual gift of helps, but if she did, this is the kind of description you would expect to see for a person that has that gift. Also, she later died, and then Peter resurrected her. It's pretty cool. Different story, different gift. We all need help from time to time, right? Sometimes it's in little things, sometimes it's in huge things. And you don't need the gift of helps. Catch this. You don't need the gift of helps to help other people. In fact, we're all called to love one another in practical, tangible ways. But people with the gift of helps, they can see the needs around them in the world. Like the whole world is black and white, and what they see is like vibrant color. Boom, there's a need. There's a need. And they feel compelled. They feel that they see those needs. Doesn't always mean they're automatically going to do it, but they see them. They want to help. They have the capacity to help. Maybe not always without 100%, you know, certainty in situations, but they want to make a difference. And when people use this gift, practical needs are met. The hungry are fed. Things that are broken, they get fixed. Someone that needs a ride gets one. Someone who's hurt is helped. And people with this gift are tremendously helpful in organizations and ministries that are designed to try to bring practical needs to bear in a person's life. But they can be, this kind of gift can be present and helpful just about everywhere in our community. Part of this gift is God's compassionate heart, right? That's swift to provide aid for those who need it. Can you still hear me okay? Hear me okay? Helps if I say all the words. Gift of helps. Okay, gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is that special ability to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need. It is a divine enablement given to certain members of the body of Christ to feel genuine compassion for individuals, both Christian and non-Christian, who suffer distress, physical, mental, or emotional problems, wherein that compassion is translated into cheerfully done deeds that reflect Christ's love and alleviation of suffering. And the central thrust there is compassionate care for those who are hurting. Romans 6, or 12, 6 and 8 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Sometimes mercy can be confused with the gift of helps, but both gifts are oriented on the needs of others. But someone, I think, with the gift of mercy is especially oriented on compassion for the other person's overall well-being. It's a little bit different. So I actually tag-team with a friend of mine a lot of things in life. She's fantastic. I think I'm a little more oriented on the gift of help side, and she's more on the gift of mercy side of things. And when we go to help someone, let's say someone who's got a hole in their floor, which is definitely a real thing that happened one time, I come bring my tools, right, and I'm trying to fix the hole in this person's floor while she's talking to the person. She's finding out what they need. She's giving that hug. She's listening. She's trying to figure out what services they might need. She's bringing that compassion to them. And it's not that I don't have that. It's just that I'm a little more oriented on helping her by fixing the floor, right? So she's asking those deep questions. I'm asking the deep questions like, has the floor always been rotted here, right? Let's get this done. So in our community, when this gift is in play, people get phone calls or surprise visits during the middle of the day from someone asking, how are you doing? Who really cares, really wants to know. People that have something to say or something to celebrate or something to grieve, they find someone who really wants to listen, who really cares about them. Someone who needs a hug after service or a group or a particularly tough conversation, they find a warm, safe embrace. People who are going through a hard time in a health battle, they find someone who demonstrates that they're in their corner. They go to bat for them, whether it's words, crafts, or food, or just presence and touch. Gift of mercy. Now the gift is the gift of giving. The gift of giving is that special ability to give liberally to meet the needs of others. and yet to do so with a purity of motive which senses that the giving is a simple sharing of what God has given them. The central thrust is a sensitivity to channel to God, to channel his resources to others. Romans 12:8 again says, if your gift is giving, then give generously. You don't have to be wealthy to possess the gift of giving. Rather, at the heart of it is someone who delights in providing for the needs of others. Someone, when a need presents itself, their first response is, what can I give to meet that need? What can I give? It could be from your wealth, but it could be from your time. It could be your attention. It could be your skills. There are also these people, I think, are particularly incredibly generous with others based on their heart. But I think part of it is they know that God's going to provide for them. God provides for them. And so they're just a conduit. God gave me this thing. Well, I'm going to give you this thing. You seem to need it now. He's going to give me other things, and I'll pass those on when the time comes. That's the heart. And when people with the gift of giving are active in our community, people that need new tires, critical medicine, money for rent, I don't know, a car, Christmas gifts for the kids, a place to sleep, right? They get them because someone gives them. There are those who are in the hospital, right? They get someone's loving gift of time, even during the worst hours of the day or night. Critical projects are funded. Meals are dropped off. Refrigerators, we've had this happen, mysteriously arrive in your front door. I've been so amazed at what people have been willing to give in the last 20 years. It has just astounded me, and that is the work of the Spirit. Gift of giving. Another gift is the gift of distinguishing between spirits. The gift of distinguishing between spirits is the special ability given by God to perceive issues in terms of spiritual truth, to know the fundamental source of the issues, and to give judgment concerning those issues. So this includes the recognition of the spiritual forces at work, whether they're divine or human or demonic. And the central thrust is a sensitivity to truth and its source. In the book of Acts, we see this encounter with Paul and Barnabas and a sorcerer named Elymas. And Paul sees what's happening in the moment. He discerns what's happening, and he calls the man out. He says, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? You ever had a moment in life when you're just confused by the circumstances around you? When you're trying to sort out and get a handle on what is God doing here, but it seems fuzzy? People with the gift of distinguishing between spirits, they can sometimes see what others miss. They can discern what's happening in the spiritual forces realm, particularly with regard to determining whether the source of something is from God or it's not. This group of people can be very helpful in charting a course through difficult, complicated situations because they can label things properly. They can help us see where things are, who is contributing to the moment. So when this gift is at play, we will hear people making sense of difficult moments, helping to see, for instance, when there's some sort of evil or spiritual attack, or when we're missing God's voice in a situation. The gift of distinguishing between spirits. Another gift is the gift of healing. The gift of healing refers to bringing wellness of many kinds, including all types of illnesses, physical, emotional, and mental. And the gift of healing is the working of God through certain members of the body of Christ to cure illness, restore health as he chooses. It is the special ability to be God's means for restoring people to wholeness. And the central thrust is releasing God's power to heal. There's a man in need early in the book of Acts, and Peter looks at him and says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. To be sure, the power to heal is divine. Whether it's Peter or Paul or someone we know, it's not sourced in people. But God selects human agents from time to time, and he brings about healing through their touch or through their prayers. And in most cases, they aren't able to heal on command. But if you look at the history of their interactions with other people, you often find that they are involved in spaces where people are getting better. We may have a hard time finding a lot of people who would say that they have this gift. Maybe. But it's not terribly fuzzy when it's in play. People who are sick or injured, sometimes suffering a malady since birth, maybe they're made well. And if you have this gift or you think you have this gift, I know our Sunday service team, our prayer team in particular, would love to have you on board because we are consistently praying for needs that people have. And lots of times, it's in this realm. One thing I've seen is that kids can sometimes be God's agent in this space. So there's been many situations when I've been praying diligently, consistently, a long time for someone. And I'm still praying for them because that thing, that need is still present. And then sometimes, for some reason, I decide to bring in my kids and say, guys, would you pray for this with me? Let me tell you what's going on. And then we pray together, and then something happens, like quickly thereafter. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, no matter how tall or short they are. Gift of healing. Another gift is the gift of working of miracles. The working of miracles is that special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to serve as human intermediaries through whom it pleases God to perform powerful acts that are perceived by observers to have altered the ordinary course of nature. The workings of miracles refers to the releasing of God's supernatural power so that the intervention of God is perceived and Jesus is exalted. So the central thrust is the releasing of God's authenticating power. And when we look at biblical history, we certainly see normal moments, right? Lots of normal moments. But we also see moments when God steps in and alters the course of nature, chemistry, physics, right, and the like. Saturated objects burn. Heavenly bodies are shaken. The skies are shut or opened. Waters are parted. Storms are stilled. Donkeys talk. Staffs turn into snakes. And then back into staffs again. Water gushes forth from bare rock, or water is turned into wine. Someone with the gift of working of miracles is the conduit for God's unique work of authenticating his power and glory. And in Scripture, oftentimes we see these types of gifts backing up the veracity of the speaker as if God is saying, I approve this message, right? Later in that same passage in Acts, so Paul, Barnabas, they confront that sorcerer, Elymas, and this is what happens next. It says, now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. Sorry, Paul's still speaking to that sorcerer. And immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the proconsul, who's the dude who's observing all this, who's not Paul or Barnabas, or the sorcerer, when he sees what happened, he believed. For he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. And the miracle authenticates the truth of the message. In this case, it changes a man's heart. He sees what's true, what's real in that moment. The gift of working in miracles. Okay, those are the serving gifts. We did it. We got through them. But now what? Now what? If you resonated with any of those descriptions personally, not that you have to like run out of the room like, the gift of that, no, I'm so sure. Right? But just if you resonated with something and have a sense that this might be a gift that God has given you, I'd say explore it. Explore it. I want to put in a plug for the spiritual gifts class. You couldn't see it super well on the slide, but it's real. It's happening next week, starting next week. And if you want to dive deeper into some of these spaces, talk with others about it, learn more, it's a great place to do it. The other thing I'd encourage you to do is if someone's name or face came to mind for you as I was reading some of those descriptions that's not you, talk to them. Talk to them. You don't have to say definitively, hey, you have the gift of working miracles. But you could come up to them and say, hey, I see you offering mercy time and time again. I saw it here. I wonder if this is something God's given you. Gifts, I should say this, are not an excuse to avoid doing something that God calls us to do, okay? Even if we're not gifted in it. I don't know if I'm a gifted encourager, but there are times when God wants me to encourage somebody, and I need to step in and obey and do that thing. And God can also do whatever he wants, okay? Do whatever he wants, constrained by who he is, in ways I don't fully understand, right? But he can give a person a gift for a moment. You might have it just for a moment because he needs to give that to you in that moment to do the thing. Or he just wants you to obey, even if you don't have a gift, right? But he can do those things. He can give it for a week, a season, a lifetime. He can give more than one. He can take them back. He can put another one in his place. He can do all those things. Let me take you back to the heart of why we're sharing all these things. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness, that's the point. We use these tools to build our community up. We are the product and we're the tool. And we're supposed to engage. We're supposed to use the gifts that God has given us to help form our community. There's a context, though. Spiritual gifts are given to those who are part of the body of Christ. I couldn't say it any better than Joanna and Emma did. When Jesus went to death on that cross for us, when he was willing to give up his life for us, he made a way for us to be made right with him. But it's not automatic. It's through faith. All of us, everyone is made in God's image. We are loved by God, but we don't enter the body of Christ until that moment of faith. And when we do, our life does change. Maybe it's immediate. Sometimes our perception of it is a little slower over the course of time, but it changes, and we are brought into the body of Christ. And at that point, that is when this comes into play. We become part of his body. He gives gift at that time. If that is something you've not yet talked to somebody about, hopefully you sense in us willingness as a staff team, just as a community. We'd love to talk to you more about that. 1 Peter 4:10, I think is the last verse I've got for you. Each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. This is should. The Bible uses the word should. Woo. Not popular anymore. But it's in there. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. We need to. God's given us a gift that he wants us to use. Blacksmithing. One of the things that people ask me all the time, like, what's one of the favorite things that you've made? Okay, this is one of the favorite things that I've made. It's like, it's pretty cool. Like, it's got like my little mark on it. It's like shiny, it's sharp. It has this cool case. It's got a magnet on it so it doesn't fall out. It's kind of cool. But one of the things that kind of drives me nuts is I end up making something, spend a lot of time on it, and I give it to a person, and it goes on the shelf. And it just sits there, looking all pretty, looking all decorative. But that's not why I make things. I have discovered that I make things because I want them to be used. I want them to be used. And so one of the ironic things is this kind of ugly pair of wolf jaw tongs I use all the time. All the time. It's so versatile. It's got this size. It's got this size. You can go long. You can go sideways. It's like really impressive. And it keeps my hands from burning, which is cool. It holds stuff really tight when you're trying to form it. That's awesome. I love it when the things that I make get used. And when God gives us gifts, he wants us to use them. He gives them to us because our community needs them. They need them. And we need to put them in play. What happens when God gives us a gift, but we leave it on the shelf? What happens for our community? Say God gives you the gift of mercy, and you leave it on the shelf, and you don't use it. What's the cost? I don't know. I don't know how to quantify that. What I do know is that he tells us we should use them. And he's gracious. So when we miss opportunities, he's going to give us new ones. And sometimes we miss a moment, he's going to bring someone else into that moment to catch it. I don't know all those things, but I know he's good. I know he loves us. And I know that if you don't know him, he knows you, wants you to be part of his family, his body, and he wants to gift you to bless all the others. And so thank you for participating this first week. We're going to cover the other gifts the next couple weeks. And just as a reminder, there are copies in the back if you want to see all that in writing. And then it's coming out again in the bulletin tomorrow. I think that's all I needed to say. Yes, Christ-likeness and love, too. Keep that in mind. Let's pray. Holy Father, what a gracious God you are to give us things. You provide so many things to us. And there's these things in Scripture we call spiritual gifts, but you've given us so many other gifts because you're a God who gives good things to your kids. And I thank you for that. I do pray, God, would you graciously instruct us, speak to us. I think probably each of us in this room has a varied degree of experience with regard to spiritual gifts. Maybe this is the first introduction to it. Maybe we've had some rough experiences in our past. Who knows? And I pray that you'd help us to see what you intend for us to see. in your word so that we can obey you. We can worship you with the way we live. In your holy name we pray. Amen.